Pastor Josh normally would be here giving the message, but about 8 or 9 o'clock, I don't remember what time it was, something like that last night, he said he wasn't feeling well, and then around 10:30 or so, he said, yeah, I'm not going to make it to the service, you know, could you pinch hit, and this morning he confirmed it again, saying he's, so we pray for Pastor Josh as he's getting over whatever he's got. So this is a message I gave 11 years ago. So yeah, he said, you know, just do something you've done in the past and everything. It's like, I don't normally like to do that. I want to hear from the Lord. I want to, you know, be fresh and new. But 10:30 at night really wasn't going to do it for me to do that. And So here it is, you know, but as I was kind of going through the sermons I've done in the past, and I was looking at, say, you know, what is relevant for today? Not that we have to be relevant. I don't want to misuse that term, but we do need to be in this world and yet not of this world. We do need to interact with people either at the store or in your workplace or at school. And so we still need to be able to understand what is happening around us and see it through the lens of Christ. See it through Jesus' eyes, to bring it through the scriptures to see what is true and what is not. And so today, we're going to look at, well, Jesus. He's, of course, the central figure in Christianity. He is the one who was the Lamb. We just sang about him this morning. Have you heard any of the lyrics? If anything sank in from the lyrics that we sing from our songs, they come from scriptures. He was the Lamb that was slain. He is the one and only true sacrifice that was given so that we can have a relationship with God. And so as we look to him, in this world, there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of times when we can say, you know, we say Jesus, but you talk to somebody and they have in their mind a different Jesus. They have in their mind either something they've conjured up for themselves, something that they've misunderstood from scriptures, or just something that the culture has told them is what Jesus is. You know, his last name is not Christ, and he's certainly not used as a swear word. So we're going to take Jesus for who he is and dive into a little bit more of why he came, who he is, and he is, I'm going to put this up here. I borrowed it from C.S. Lewis, so I'm not plagiarizing, okay? C.S. Lewis is a great man of faith. He's no longer with us on this earth anyway. We'll get to see him in heaven someday. But he had this phrase that said, is Jesus a liar, a lunatic, or is he Lord? A liar, a lunatic, or is he Lord? And so we don't just leave it there. We want to take a look at the claims of Jesus, but we also want to see how does that relate to us and how can we use this in our life? We never just want to fill our head with knowledge and be walking encyclopedias. We want to be able to share the faith with others around us. And so we're going to take a look at Jesus today from C.S. Lewis. If you don't know who C.S. Lewis is, C.S. Lewis, he wrote some great books. He also wrote some children's books that they turn into movies. I'm going to put one up there. If you remember Narnia, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Prince Caspian, and what was the other? Voyage of the Dawn Treader, that they made into movies. He wrote some children's books. He wrote some books for teenagers with the Planets series. I can't remember. The Space Trilogy, yes. He also wrote some great theological books. Heavy stuff. And he's great. He's a great read. But I want to read one of his quotes up here. And this is kind of where we're centering around today. And then we're going to dive into the scriptures. This is a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must take your choice. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him, his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. I don't know if you've interacted with people and they say, oh yeah, Jesus, yeah, he had some great things to say. He was a good moral man. He was a good teacher and everything. Yeah, that is all true. He is a good teacher, but we can't leave it there. We cannot just agree and not go any further. There's been other great teachers out there. There's been other great people out there who have either shared the gospel or just shared wisdom, but they didn't claim to be the person that Jesus claims to be. And so we're going to take a look at the scriptures and see why Jesus himself, why he is beyond just a great teacher and what he said about it. First of all, he said he's God. If anybody ever tells you, well, Jesus never said that he was God, well, he did not come out and say, I am God. He did say, I am, which of course they relate to the Old Testament who that says that he is God. But he didn't need to. I don't need to go up in front of you and say, I am David Jackson. Okay, you know that. This is a bad example. Okay, I'm not Jesus, all right? But I can make claims. I can make claims. I can show documents. I can show my birth records. I can show my driver's license. I can show my passport. Yeah, I can show all of these things that verify the claims I have made. And if I say that I am a pastor, you could check with the church and make sure that I actually went through ordination. You can see the documents that were put forward. You can see the ministries that I'm in. So there's fruit you can see, you can research, and that's what we can do with Jesus. When Jesus makes a claim, we can look and see if it is true. That's what the good Bereans did back in the day, when the Sea of Paul, what he was saying was actually true. And so today we're going to do that as well. So when Jesus claims he is God, you're probably asking, where am I finding that? Let's go to John 10, 27 through 33. Just a moment here. I can't do it like Pastor Josh. You know, he's got his Bible. Mine's bigger. So he's great. How is he doing, Ashley? Is he watching right now? Hey! Hey, Pastor Josh. All right. Perfect. All right. I'm the youth pastor, by the way, so you know, so I can get away with a little bit more than here. All right. John 10, 27 through 33. So let me get there as well. So if you'd read along with me, that would be awesome. It says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Wow. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you being a man, make yourself out to be God. All right. The Jews figured it out. Jesus was saying, I am God. Not in those three words, but by the witness, by his testimony of what he said. When he says, I and the Father are one, in their minds, they're thinking blasphemy. Nobody in human form can equate himself with God. But Jesus did that. He is giving testimony about himself. In fact, he's the only one that can give testimony about himself. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can only give testimony about themselves, because they're only the ones that only truly know who he is. I'm sorry, pronouns. But when he says that, they were ready to stone him. Blasphemy is a stonable offense. You could die for that. You blaspheme the Lord, it's death. It's a serious thing. And Jesus turns it around. It's like, well, for one, which one of these things, you know, which one of these many good works, he's playing them a little bit, which one of these many good works are you going to stone me for? And I'm like, no. I'm not stoning you for good works. We're stoning you because you just said that you're God. That's a heavy statement. If he truly is God, if he truly is God, if he's not lying, if he's not some lunatic, if he truly is the Lord, if he truly is God, he's going to have to substantiate those claims because the people don't believe him. Okay, not that he has to do it, but he wants to. He wants people to know him. He wants people to believe in him. He wants people to see him for who he truly is as God. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me to verify that. He is himself the only one, like I said, that can give true testimony about himself. So, as he claims that he is God, and the Jewish people are ready to kill him, I think that kind of relates to what we can say today as well. If you are in this nation, if you grew up in this country, we've got it great, don't we? Or do we really? I mean, there's not a whole lot of persecution. I mean, it's coming. We know it. We hear the rumblings. We see the court cases. We understand that things are not what they used to be. We do understand that. We're real about that. At the same time, though, under persecution, there's always been great growth. Not that we pray for persecution, but we know that it is going to come, and how we handle it is really the biggest thing. Are we going to crumble under persecution, or are we going to praise the Lord for it and give him all the glory and stand for the Lord in the day of persecution? Some of you might know this already. We've talked about China many times. We were missionaries there for a while. It's been quite a few years, but we still have many good friends that are in China, and they right now are going through a lot of persecution. The government is kicking out Christians. They have for a while now, and they're doing just horrible things there, things that we don't hear about because the news doesn't love to report those things. At the same time, we do know that persecution typically is like a refiner's fire. It is something that takes that slag, that awful stuff out and makes us into pure and more pure individuals in Christ. So if you are facing anything like that today, either at your workplace or maybe in your school, if you're going there, I do pray that it would be a refining, not a backing down, not something that we just say, well, okay, you know, I guess I'm a Christian, make fun of me or whatever. We will be made fun of, we know that. But are we shining out the light of Jesus? Jesus himself, bearing testimony to himself, was about ready to die. And he did ultimately die. We know that. He died on the cross. But he was about ready to get stoned here because of the claims that he makes. What claims are we making about Jesus in our workplace, in our schools? What claims are we making about Jesus in our families who don't know the Lord? Are we sharing him for who he truly is? Let's take a look at a few more places here. John 17:5. So we're sticking in the book of John. A few pages back. In John 17:5, it says, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Oh my goodness. The claims of Jesus. He was there before the world was. He was the one that was at creation. In other places it says that he was there to create in Genesis. It's amazing. He's praying to the Father right here. It's like he left heaven to come down and be with us. Pastor Josh says, what did he say? He left perfect heaven to come down to dirty earth to kind of, he didn't say muck around with us or whatever like that. But yeah, what's that? Dirty, rotten earth. Thank you. That's the words that he used. Yes. Dirty, rotten earth. Unimaginable. Unfathomable, especially to the Jewish people who said that we need to be holy and pure and be like God. And he comes down here and is in the muck and the mire and everything like that. But what a great God that we have. "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." I mean, that's like a sermon series in itself right there. just the depth of the riches that comes just from that one sentence there. So he said he was there before the world began. And we know that God was there, that he had created angels. They were his creation. Jesus is not an angel. There are some cults in this great land that will say that Jesus was an angel, and some even that say that he was the brother to Lucifer. And just was like, where are you getting that from? And that's why we need to know who the real Jesus is. Look at his claims and see how they're verified. So Jesus himself said he was there at the beginning. He was with the Father. When he came down to earth, he gave up that glory that he had to be with us down here. Let's take a look at some more claims of Jesus here. Luke 5, 20 through 21. So Luke is right before John. Sorry, I don't need to tell you that. That's a youth group thing. I apologize. So we'll go back a few pages here. Luke 5, 20 through 21. Get there. All right. Seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." The scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus, I'm going to keep going a little bit. But Jesus is aware of their reasoning. He answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins have been forgiven you,' or say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home." And of course, immediately that happened. So Jesus has already said that he's God. He said that he and the Father are one. He said that he was with the Father at the beginning, and now he's forgiving sins. This guy is not just a great moral teacher. He's like a rabble rouser. He's almost like a rebel in their time. You know, I'm not saying that he is, but in their minds, they thought he was. They're like, who is this man who's doing these things? So the Pharisees knew. They knew that only God can forgive sins. And I'm not going to go in this nation of people. I can't forgive sins. I can't do it. Only God can forgive sins. Only God can forgive. Let that sink in. So if you have a sin in your life that you're like, man, that this is really, really nagging at me, and I know I haven't asked for forgiveness, you go to God and go to God himself, and he will forgive your sins. This is, in this time, this was blasphemy. Again, another time that Jesus is making a claim, substantiating it, saying, well, you know, I am the Father. The Father and I are one. I am God. Well, he even healed the paralytic and he forgave the paralytic sins. I mean, both of those things happened, and they hated him. They hated him for it. He was speaking blasphemy. He was taking people away from them. He's doing greater signs and wonders that they were doing. They hated him for it. And in the scriptures, it says that the world will hate us because we are his. And as that hatred continues to boil and boil and boil, we need to not be like the frog in the pot and just eventually be cooked. We need to realize what's happening, get out, and share with others around us as this culture tries to boil us and tries to make us more subdued. Maybe take that Jesus and, you know, calm him down a little bit. You know, we can say that, well, you know, not only Jesus forgives sins. What is a sin anyway? There is no such thing as sins. There's no such thing. God, there is no God. Well, we'll just say that we have God in all of us. Or maybe there's other gods out there. Maybe they're aliens. I'm not sure. There's a lot of claims being thrown at us all the time. Jesus says he's God. Jesus says he can forgive sins. He's the only one that can forgive sins, because only God can forgive sins. He was there at the beginning. He'll be there at the end. He'll be there for all time. We know that as well. So as these teachers and scribes, those who studied the law, who studied the Old Testament, who should have been the first ones lining up and saying, "Hail to you, Messiah. Thank you for coming and saving us." They were the ones that were saying, this can't be, this can't happen. How could a man say that he's speaking blasphemy? We need to kill him. We need to kill him. We need to kill him. Now, there's many other claims. I'm not going to go into, this is not an exhaustive list. I pray that you go through your scriptures, you know, take a look at the claims of Jesus. This is only like a little bite of what's happening here. Take a look at who Jesus is. Match him up with what the culture is saying. Match that up with what maybe some of our, can I say that? Some of our preconceived notions are about him. And really, truly dive into who he really is according to his word that he's given us in the scriptures. Let's not do hearsay. Let's not take what CNN or any of the other networks say. Let's not take what other religions are talking about him. Let's go into the scriptures for ourselves and see who Jesus is. We've already looked at a few of his claims, that he is God, that he was here at the beginning, that he forgives sins, and they were about ready to kill him for blasphemy, and this world will kill us as well if we try to make those claims. I'm not saying necessarily that they're physically going to kill us, but they're going to try to silence, and they're going to try to erase us. But that's why we need to be all the more bold, sharing the gospel with the people around us. So why forgiveness of sins? And this is important. This is what we're going to end on today. Why the forgiveness of sins, and why was that such a deep thing? Now, I could understand the Pharisees and the scribes saying, you know, he said he's God. He equated himself. I and the Father are one. Okay, we understand that. That's blasphemy. But why is the forgiveness of sins blasphemy? To say that he was going to do that. Because in this culture, we do actually have some places that say that, you know, that they will forgive our sins. But we said only Jesus can do that. We understand that. But why is that such a deep and rich thing? I just want to kind of end on what that says today. And it all has to do with the end of our time here on earth. Okay. It has to do with what happens at that last, at that next moment when we take our last breath and we get to see Jesus face to face. It all goes into that. So the Bible's very clear about what happens when we die, and that's John 14:6. So we're going to go there. Again, we went from Luke. John is the next one over. Next, John 14:6. And I hope as we hear about this that we keep in mind who Jesus is and what he did. So John 14, verse 6. And that says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus, again, here's another claim. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Okay, this is hard for us to swallow. It's very hard for us to swallow because we would like to have universal salvation that anybody whom we love, and this might sting a little bit, I'm sorry, but you know, the truth is the truth. You know, just because we love somebody does not mean that they automatically get into heaven. Just because we care for somebody doesn't give them a free ride, a free ticket. Just because we pray for somebody does not mean that they automatically get that ticket to go to heaven. Okay, again, this is not popular in our culture, but this is what the Bible says here. There's two places that we go, that we can go when we die. Either we get to go see Jesus face to face and spend with him in heaven, or there is eternal punishment in hell. And again, not a popular thing, but the Bible, again, is very clear. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one, exclusive. Yes, Christianity is an exclusive, I don't want to say religion. It's an exclusive relationship. Christianity says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Or but by me, if you wanted to go from a different version. Jesus is exclusive. He proved that he's God. He proved that he can substantiate the claims that he had. He proved it when he died on the cross, and 3 days later he rose from the grave. Death couldn't even hold him. He's the master of that. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. The only way. That is why forgiveness of sins is such a deep thing. That is why it was a huge thing to call it blasphemy, is because only God can forgive sins. Jesus is claiming to be God. Only Jesus can forgive sins. Only Jesus, and through him, can we get to heaven. That's, if I had to end there, that'd be it. That truly is the only way. That's why we go out and share. That's why we send missionaries. That's why we go out with ourselves as missionaries. That's why we share with our neighbors. That's why we share with our family who don't know the Lord. That's why we do not keep silent. He is the only way to heaven. If we want to see people in heaven, if we truly have the love of Christ and we want to see them, we share the gospel with them. We share that only through Jesus Christ can they get to heaven. And I don't know about you, but these claims that Jesus made, the exclusivity of them, yet the substantial weight that they have, as well as his being able to substantiate them, is huge. Jesus is not just some moral teacher. Jesus is not just some good man. Jesus is not just some guy who lived 2,000 years ago that we can, you know, maybe get a little bit of wisdom from. He is God. He is Lord. He is our Savior. He is the only one that we call upon in order to be saved. Exclusive. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. In this culture, they don't like to say that. They hate saying that that's, you know, exclusive. How could you? You know, that means that there's excluding others. And like, no. It is inclusive in that anyone can be saved, right? And I'm not wrong in that, right? Anybody can be saved. Those who call upon the Lord, those who believe in their heart, right? Those who say that Jesus is Lord, believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead, will be saved. Okay? It is very, anybody. It doesn't matter what race, what creed, what color, what sex. It doesn't. All of those things do not matter. Jesus Christ is there for everybody, but he is the only way. He is the only way to get to heaven. And if you disagree with me, you can disagree with me, that's fine. But I would say go into the scriptures and see for yourself. That's what the Bereans did, like I said at the beginning. The good Bereans did that. If you're not believing me, go and find it yourself. Go see who Jesus really is. I think it'll help open our eyes a little bit more. So, as we finish up our time today, I'd like to pray, and we're going to have the worship team come up when I pray. But I want you to stick around for Sunday school. If you haven't been to Sunday school in the past or anything, that's fine. If you have, that's fine too. But I want you to hear what Keyshore has to say. So please go to fellowship. That's awesome. 10:30 hits. We are closing the doors, and he's got an hour up here to proclaim the word, to share the gospel, share in his heart what is happening. And I really, really encourage you to stay and do that. If you've got other plans, That's awesome. Maybe, you know, push them back a little bit. That's okay, too. Text messages are great. Hey, I'm not going to be there for another hour. That's okay. The jet skis will wait. You know, sorry. No. Noah's awesome. But I really do encourage you to stay for that, because I know he's got some great things on his heart. So let's pray together, and then we'll finish up our time in one more song. So Lord, it's been such a great day so far. Lord, we know that you are going to continue to make it so. And Lord, as we come to you humbly, Lord, I pray that you'd continue to open our eyes so we can see you more, to be more like you. Lord, I pray that as we leave here today, myself included, Father, that we would be more like you. Lord, let us shine out to this lost and dying world so that we can show you for who you truly are. Lord, give us boldness as people have misinformation. Lord, help us to make the record straight for those who don't know you or don't understand you. Father, let us have the correct words to say. Let your Holy Spirit, Father, flow through us and give us the words to say as we share with those around us. And Father, thank you for what you did on the cross. We want to thank you for all eternity for what your blood did as you shed that for us to forgive us of our sins for those who call upon you. And Lord, as we finish off our service here today, Lord, I do pray that you would be blessed by the songs that we sing, that'd be a fragrant offering before your throne. Let's pray in Jesus' name.